the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 958. Oh, for a closer walk with God, a calm and heavenly frame, a light to shine upon the road that leads me to the Lamb. 958.
from the Holy Word of God. Let us read in the book of Genesis, chapter 32. Genesis 32, also a few verses in the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 15, verses 21 to 28. Firstly, Genesis, chapter 32. And Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's host." And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. And Jacob sent messengers before him. And Jacob to Esau his brother, unto the land of Seir, the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, "Thus shall ye speak unto my lord Esau: Thy servant Jacob saith thus, I have sojourned with Laban, and stayed there until now. I have oxen and asses, flocks, and men servants, and women servants. And I have sent to tell my lord that I may find grace in thy sight." And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, "We came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him." Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that was with him, and the two flocks and herds and the camels into two bands, and said, "If Esau come to the one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape." And Jacob said, "O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saidst unto me, Return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. With my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children." And thou saidst, "I will surely do thee good, and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude." And he lodged there that same night, and took of that which came to his hand a present for Esau his brother: 200 she-goats, and 20 he-goats, 200 ewes, and 20 rams, 30 milk camels with their colts, 40 kine, and 10 bulls, 20 she-asses, and 10 foals. And he delivered them into the hand of his servants, every drove by themselves, and said unto his servants, "Pass over before me, and put a space betwixt drove and drove." And he commanded the foremost, saying, "When Esau my brother meeteth thee, and asketh thee, saying, Whose art thou, and whither goest thou, and whose are these before thee? Then thou shalt say, They be thy servant Jacob's. It is a present sent unto my lord Esau, and behold, also he is behind us." And so commanded he the second, and the third, all that followed the drove, saying, "On this manner shall ye speak unto Esau when ye find him. And say ye moreover, Behold, thy servant Jacob is behind us. For he said, I will appease him with the present that goeth before me, and afterward I will see his face. Peradventure he will accept of me." So went the present over before him, and himself lodged that night in the company. And he rose up that night, and took his two wives, and his two women servants, and his 11 sons, and passed over the brook Jabbok. And he took them, and sent them over the brook, and sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." As he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh, unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. We now turn to the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 15, verses 21 to 28. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts, and cried unto him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil." But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." But he answered and said, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then came she and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs." And she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Let us pray. O thou blessed and great God, we do bow before thy great majesty. Give us to realise, Lord, that it is in thee as our Creator we live and move and have our very being. May we be able to know it spiritually, Lord, in that tremendous truth that thou didst speak unto thy disciples and to us in thy word. For without me ye can do nothing. Oh, we do pray that we might truly wait upon thee now and ask for the Holy Spirit and the gospel ministry tonight. And in the word that we have read, make it a living word. And minister to us out of thy eternal fullness. Oh, may the blessed Spirit be with us in our midst, with the people. It can only be in the hearts of the people. Oh, it's not the building. Ah, the body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Oh, we can only come and fall down and beg to fix up thy blessed abode in our hearts, Lord. Oh, come and save us. Save us from ourselves, Lord. All that's about us, this bewitching world. We own our baseness and vileness, but would plead the sweet truth of thee, Lord Jesus. Oh, thou that Christ. And do help us now to believe in thee more. And to trust in them. We read so beautifully through thy word. Oh, it's a blessed truth, Lord. That after all, the way of the living God and salvation is that thy dear people should trust in thee, should believe in thee, should look unto thee. Oh, help us to do so, Lord. We can make no offering of our own, but plead thy great offering for sin. Please come, Lord, where we are. Oh, we thank thee for that truth, that thou regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. Yes, our destitution is something that we have to live with and face up to day by day. But oh, we would live by faith. Lord, as Top Lady versed it, nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress. Helpless look to thee for grace. Foul, I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Saviour, or I die. Bless us tonight, Lord, pour in the oil and the wine of the precious gospel. Oh, do speak those fear nots. Do confirm the souls of thy disciples. O blessed Spirit of truth, make thee, Lord Jesus, very precious, very real, oh, so very vital. Oh, we would pray like the poet in hymn 27. And we pray to the Holy Ghost. Show us that loving man that rules the courts of bliss, Lord of hosts, the mighty God, the eternal Prince of Peace. Lord, we confess our sins. Oh, once more we have to confess our sins in Zion. We have to confess our sins of this day. Remember some of them very clearly, the thoughts we've had, the imaginations. Our Lord, the sinful desires of nature, the love to the world. And yet so much we cannot remember even today. Oh, the whole catalogue of them. But oh, we plead that truth that the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin, all our sin, we pray. blotted out. And grant, Lord, a visit to one and another, even for the first time, to show them that their sins, which are so many, are all forgiven. And do grant, Lord, that indeed those who have tasted the rich grace and have sweetly enjoyed the gospel feast of forgiveness, oh, might be renewed. Oh, grant another touch. Oh, for a pleasing sight of our almighty Father's throne, where sits the Saviour crowned with life, clothed in a body like our own. Oh, we do pray that as we consider those adoring saints around thee stand, oh, may they cast their crowns before thee, may we be able to offer some real praise from our hearts for the hope, oh, the sweet and blessed hope. We're not cast it away, not cast away our confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For surely we have need of patience, Lord, until we receive the promise. Ah, we do plead indeed thou bless us tonight. Then ask where we are. Dear kind physician of souls, as know the heartache and the complicated matters with so many, and all the worries on every side, all the storms that blow and sometimes from different quarters and seem to encompass us about. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that there may be a still small voice, bring about a great calm, peace be still. Oh, we do pray there may be a calm in the soul of one and another, able to look to Christ, trust in Christ. May they perceive that as hold the tiller of the little bark, their little boat. And though in the midst of us, a vast ocean of life, oh, they may realise that with them. They might know and say in their heart, I must be still and know thou art God. O God, with poor sinful me. Do grant this favour, Lord. Bless sinners then here tonight. Oh, remember those that live carelessly, those that live to themselves, or those that have one foot in the world, one foot in religion. Can't say the Church of God, but in the religious world. Yes, and can walk comfortably with Christ in the world. Or do save such from such carnal security. Awaken to their true state. Oh, may they be in want. May they know their nakedness. Begin to look a little into an eternity which they cannot look into really. They may realise its immensity before them. And may they begin to be concerned and cry out for the living God. Call upon thee for riches of grace and for thy tender mercy to reach them. They might truly know in great experience of their soul that salvation. Oh, the sweet truth, I am the way, the truth and the life. Oh, bless sinners. Remember those who sit in darkness and have no light, we pray for them. Oh, rise with healing in thy wings. Oh, do command that they might know and see the beauteous light of Jesus Christ. Oh, that beauteous light in which they will know that inward repose in their soul. We plead that truth, or may it be felt and known here tonight, the truth of it, the sweetness of it. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face. Oh, the blessed, if I may so add, Lord, to thy word, that lovely, blessed face in the face of Jesus Christ. Ah, Lord, do grant such things. Oh, to worship thee, to bow down reverently before thee. Bless us here tonight. Bless this people. Grant them thy spirit as they meet together. Dwell among them. Bless sinners. May this place be the birthplace of many. Or may the friends know those feeding times, or those times of strength of their weak hands, confirming with their feeble knees. Or may they receive food and drink and divine nourishment in their soul. And may be strengthened with might in the inner man of their souls. All blessed sinners, we pray. And all may my name and person be very precious in this place. Again and again to one another, they come out of the busy scenes of life and all the attendant trials and weariness and death stamped on everything. Their souls might live here. Oh, they might have life. Maybe minister to them here, Lord. That as I am come, they might have life, and that more abundantly. Oh, God, may indeed happen here again and again, and at home as well. And the dear brethren there, young and old. I will pray for our friends here, pray for our friends at home, the dear brethren, the flock of God there. Oh, bless sinners. Touch many hearts. Bring many to thy feet. Shine into their souls. Make thyself to them each, here and at home, a living, bright reality. Bless office bearers. Give them wisdom, godly fear, much grace. The single eye to thy glory, we pray. Bless each church member, each praying friend. Oh, may they truly pray their way along. May they pray one for another. May they unite in thy fear. May they know and live in the spirit of it, the exercise of it. To know they are the least of all saints, yet glory in the grace given. Oh, may there be that abiding in union with each other and the Lord. May there be those gracious distance to the church. Oh, may the hearts of one another be touched, graciously constrained to put on Christ. Do these things in remembrance of thee. Oh, bless the families, the children, the generations. Don't see children out at the evening hour. Oh, bless them in their coming. Oh, we do pray thou so bless the little ones and the dear children in school days and the youth, young men and young women. Remember all among us afflicted in trouble, in sorrow, in weakness, the married and the unmarried, and friends and daily labours of business, the domestic scene, the family circle, and the private pathway. Oh, help thy people. Lord, we pray for thy dear sons that preach the precious gospel. Those that come here, thy dear servant, engage next Lord's day, bless him. Bless him at home today, we pray. All thy dear servants, we pray for them. Oh, pour out thy spirit, we pray. Lord, to revive thy work. Oh, how the psalmist prayed, revive thy work, so the years make known, in wrath remember mercy. And the prophet cried out, and the psalmist prayed, will thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, grant us thy salvation. We thank you for thy tender mercies. Lord, our cup runs over. Oh, the day by day blessings. Mercies count as the sand which daily we receive. Lord, we humbly pray that thou wilt give us thankful hearts. And oh, especially as we may have a sweet and sacred hope in the unspeakable gift of Jesus Emmanuel, God with us. Lord, and we thank thee for the beautiful seasons and the harvest. And so we pray that we may be favoured yet with the continuing of the promise, seed time and harvest. The beautiful seasons will continue while the earth remains. But Lord, we would see Jesus. Oh, we would touch the hem of thy garment. We need an infallible cure. We're full of death, as the poet Hart says concerning the some to brass, to look to it, death within thee, all about thee, but the remedies without thee, see it in the Saviour's blood. Oh, could us poor sinners see a little your infallible cure and our salvation and our safety personally in that shed blood, in the dear Redeemer, our Redeemer, who shed that blood. Oh, I might know thee as our hiding place forever. Bless us now, Lord. Pardon our mighty sins. Oh dear, how can a man with a sinnership like mine preach? Sometimes it seems such a dreadful thing for a man with such a sinnership to go and preach to other poor sinners, Lord. Oh, but what can we preach but Jesus, a mighty Saviour? Oh, how thy dear people have a hiding place provided. Our helpless souls have here a friend. Oh, may we know it personally, thou hast borne my misbehaviour, and thy mercy knows no end. Ah, may we poor sinners come by precious faith and on thy grace depend the promise in the word. Make it a living word. Make the promise personal, known, and precious to us, we pray. Personally known. Precious to us, we pray. Do now help us. And there be a portion for the poor outsiders and the ends of the earth and those who know and say, I'm out of the secret. I long to know it. Oh, I'm outside the kingdom. I long to come in. Ah, may there be a portion for them tonight. So bless us now and do us good and plead the pardon of our many, many, many sins. Ah, we plead the fullness of thy grace, all-prevailing name, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 30. The soul that with sincere desires seeks after Jesus' love, that soul the Holy Ghost inspires with breathings from above. Hymn number 30.
complete dependence upon the help of the Holy Ghost. I ask your prayerful attention to the chapter we read, Genesis 32, and to verse 29. And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. It's particularly the clause. And he said, "Wherefore is it thou dost ask after my name?" And the following clause, "And he blessed him there." We have here a divine pattern. It is God's gracious way of working, that we should be brought down in need and to ask the way to Zion with our faces thitherward, and that we should ask in the precious name of Jesus, inquire after him. We have a tremendous promise, yea, so many glorious, wonderful, when I say tremendous promises in the Word of God. And one in John 14, "If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Now, how inadequate we are. How feeble and poor and half-hearted, soft in our askings and exercises. Exercises, yes, they wax and wane. The storm blows, it gets to a certain degree of height, and we become so. So the exercises, it abates a little while, and down the exercise goes. So the storm gathers strength again. We find out how shallow we are, how empty we are, but he changes not. Ah, my dear friends, he'll bring you and I into want. And especially as we see the day approaching, Oh, he will have his exercises to get to heaven, won't he? What a great matter is salvation. We don't just drift into heaven, my friends. We don't just get there because we haven't been too bad and because we're good Christians and done this and trust in the name of Jesus. My friends, it's God's greatest favour. But he's the way. And the promises are sealed by his blood. And yes, what of our poverty, weakness, sinfulness and helplessness? The promises are sealed. They shall see his face. Jacob has a pattern of sinnership and weakness. A man's often in trouble. A man, oh my friends, by his deed he deserved the lowest hell. Say that very carefully. He's in heaven now. But then we examine ourselves by our deeds. We deserve the lowest hell. Oh, how can we get to heaven? Well, the pattern is before us. And what you'll find is this, you see, as you journey on, you'll want Christ. You'll come into trouble, soul troubles, providential troubles. Yes, in this matter, that matter, another matter. And they're too great to handle. And as a young man, he has some strange ideas about religion. He used to think, you know, as the saints get older, they grow in grace, they know how to do things better. Almost as though I wouldn't really own such a doctrine, but the natural man seems to have this bent about it. Well, they can manage things better. They can't. You know, friends, I believe that the Lord's people are brought down to absolute weakness in themselves. And you see it really fulfilled on a deathbed, don't you? Oh, on a deathbed, who can help? Christ. A weak, sinking body. Maybe a tempting adversary. Christ. He alone can satisfy an answer. But oh, my friends, dear Jacob, you know, he had a good end, didn't he? All the faithfulness of God to him. I've waited for thy salvation, O Lord. All these years it was against him. And he comes to his deathbed, oh, the goodness of God. He gathered up his feet into bed and gave up the ghost. There it was, the promise. Oh, the Lord had been with him and brought him through. And now he was ready to depart. What a favour to be ready to depart. A beautiful hymn just now of hearts, you see. Not a great amount of experience and great dramatic blessings. Some may be greatly favoured, but they'll be greatly tried too. No, my friends, it's the reality of things. The Lord's people are brought down to dwell among the humble poor. Ah, to be less than nothing. Be the lessliest of all saints. But they glory in the grace. We're going to look at Jacob's life and then this wonderful, gracious visiting. This visitation. The providence was ordered by God. No escaping God's hand in providence, my friends. If he intends a trial, he'll bring a trial. And all our duckings and weavings and slithering about, you know, makes no difference. We have to walk through this way. He makes all his mountains away. The Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction. Thy tears shall not be removed into corner any more. Ah, thine eyes shall see thy teachers. I shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, when walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand, when you turn to the left. I am the way. And that's where the Lord brings you and I right down to, I am the way in this matter. I'm the way in that matter. I'm the way in your shameful sinnership. When you're grieved at your besetting sins, the sin that so easily beset us. I am the way, the truth and the life. Yes, I am the truth, a God that cannot lie, a God of verity, truth, judgment and mercy. A God that delights in mercy, a mighty Saviour. I'm the life of your soul. Oh, I'm the life of your body. I am your life in your affairs. Your breath in your nostrils is in my hand. I know every heartbeat you will take while you're living here. I am your way in all your troubles. Well, my friends, Jacob was a sinner. He was a liar and a deceiver. And the mystery is, you see, that while he was acting so, he was also seeking an interest in the blessing of God. We have to leave divided opinions of men. We have to just view it little by precious faith. God put it into his mother's heart. God intimated to his mother. We believe a godly mother, though she acted wrongly, of course. That the elder should serve the younger. So she knew the second one, or the younger one of the twins, would be the heir of promise. That's God's order to her. And my friends, he gives no account of his ways. He's an absolute sovereign. So in the time she heard of Jacob commanding Esau to prepare some meats, and he would bless him. So she quickly made haste to fulfill God's word. Well, my friends, you see, the Lord would have his way. And though she contrived a deception and engaged Jacob in it, they deceived, they were wrong, But God had his thought upon Jacob, and he was blessed. There, under the covenant blessing, I don't feel he knew God in the covenant favour of his soul. He wanted to know God, but he did not receive the blessing then. But it was pronounced in covenant faithfulness from his father that he would be blessed. And as Isaac blessed him, he knew in his own soul, fitting himself the covenant blessing. He didn't convey it to Jacob. The Lord conveyed it later, but he pronounced that he would be blessed. And when the deception came into the open and Esau came in, and Esau's voice it was, so he knew it, he made this comment. Who's this that's come in? Yeah, and he shall be blessed. He's blessed. He will be blessed. And I can't reverse it. But you see, he goes to Bethel, and there the Lord meets with him, a sinner, saved, blessed with a covenant promise of the fullness of the blessing of the love of God was in Christ Jesus. I know it had the material aspect, but it had this promise. And in thy seed, the same promise to Abraham and to Isaac and now to Jacob. And in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Or, sometimes rendered in one or two places, the nations of the earth be blessed. All of them. And we Saxons are blessed, Anglo-Saxons are blessed, aren't we? In our land, in our country. And it's the promise being fulfilled to this very moment of time. And it will be fulfilled to the very end of time. Jacob's seed that live by faith, who live, yes, with the faith of Abraham, to trust and believe in the Lord and look to him. Well, so much for the background there, you see. But he's blessed and he journeys on, and troubles come, and we can't trace out all his life. It would not necessarily be profitable when time goes, but it comes to the spiritual aspect of it. But you know his life, my friends. Ah, he had difficulties, but he prospered. Yes, oh, my souls prosper under trial. And Jacob prospered, but he had many difficulties. Oh, labored out harshly with him. My friends, and as he had sown, so began to reap him with regard to Laban. But the Lord was with him. He had a vision how his flocks could increase. And by lining the sticks, as it were, and marking them. And so his flocks increased, you see. God's powerful grace in that natural miracle that his ewes conceived and were very productive. And so on, little things like that, but great things. Unfoldings. Yes, and now he's told to return to Bethel. And this time of Laban has finished, he's told to return to Bethel. Now, you see, he was anxious, poor man. All he saw was breathing vengeance to kill him. So to return to Bethel and then to his own land, to his father's house, as it were. So, meant trouble. And here he is, deeply anxious, you see. So he does what was naturally wise, but never think it actually saved him. He did his best, but it didn't save him. His poor prayers were heard for Christ's sake. God saved him. God went before him. God softened the heart of Esau. Though the presence, no doubt, would have been a little bit helpful, but it wasn't effective, really. It was wisdom, and we should always act wisely, but that's not our salvation. Or you may show an inveterate enemy, one who is determined to do you down, maybe at work, or even in the church of God or something, and you do your best to be nice and kind, but it doesn't work. Ah, the throne of grace. Oh, there's one who can soften every heart. He turns the king's heart with us, whoever he will. one who can do everything. Well, mustn't dwell too far on these points, but here we are. You see, he receives a message. Oh yes, Esau's coming to meet you, 400 men. So he knew what it meant. So he's in real trouble. Notice this, you see. He pleads the covenant promise. I think it is in verse 9 here, and how he says in verse from verse 9 to 12 and 12, and thou sayest, I will surely do thee good, and make thy seed of the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. My friends, you who are favoured with some sweet hope in Christ, it may not be powerfully applied, but nevertheless, you have a peculiar joy and God-wrought hope in looking to Christ, in thinking upon his name. You cleave to that and plead it before God. Here, of course, he had received the blessing at Bethel. He needed that blessing now. He needed the Lord to be with him wherever he went. That promise to be fulfilled, he'd never leave him until he'd performed that he'd spoken to him of. He needed the Lord, yes, while he met Esau. He divides his company, but he does that which faith can only do in its sweet exercise. Go to prayer. Oh, may we be helped in every troublesome matter. As we view with dismay our record and our guilts, and all the sins come up against us, maybe the Lord reproves us for former iniquities. Maybe we fear that indeed the Lord may lift up his hand and chasten us sore. When the enemy is roaring at us, when there's a trial, providential trial, distresses in so many different ways in your life, may we go to prayer. Go to prayer in secret before God. So you see, he sent his wives over and then he wanted to be alone. Here's something that I feel really marks a sinner who has a work of grace. He wants to be alone. In your trials, you shirk company. You know that talking about them doesn't help. I know people are kind and we should be kind and show sympathy, but if we're faith, we know that what we say really can only do a little mollifying, but it can't heal. It can't command the blessing. It's the Lord's work. And we should encourage friends to go into their closet. Not just quote texts at them, but go into the closet and wrestle with God. And if they say they haven't got faith and they can't, well, speak to them the word of God and leave the issue with God to bring the word with life to their soul. It's what the Lord says. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I'll deliver and thou shalt glorify me. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Jehovah shells and wills, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Jacob goes to prayer. Now here we see in this divine pattern the faithfulness of God to those poor believers that pray. Now, we have in Hebrews, I quoted it this afternoon, a barrow from Hebrews 11, but without faith, or for without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. My dear friends, may that word ever do us good in our secret exercises as we draw near in prayer. And if you say, I don't know where I am, Lord, spiritually. Ask the Lord how to believe in him who he is, to reveal himself. The grace is his. It's his work from beginning to end. But here's instruction to the poor, the needy, the guilty, the weak, the hungry, the thirsty. You long for reality. But he that comes to God must believe that he is. Oh, may we believe he is the Blessed One. And plead what the Scriptures declare and ask there may be life in it and mercy given. Oh, there may be indeed that dropping down a little into our soul of his blessedness and the truth of him. That help you to pray. And a reward of them that diligently seek him in grace. Grace. Grace for grace. And a man, it says, appeared and wrestled with him. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. It would appear from the narrative he was suddenly there. He was suddenly there. I don't mean to be dramatic, but have you noticed just a little of it? When you're labouring in anxiety and trouble and sorrow and the Lord is there suddenly. Get access. Strengthen to draw near. Lay hold upon his strength. And hope is raised up in that access as he gives ear. Ah, you believe he's hearing. He's receiving. But it's not always like that, is it? We have to wrestle sometimes in the dark. The Lord arises for our help. We're surprised at the answer. How many times have you wrestled in prayer without any, as it were, sensible sense of the promise to you, and yet you've taken away a blessing? Or you've had to journey on and pleading on this matter, and it unfolds. Or didn't intimate any promise to you about it, but it's unfolded. Ah, it's precious to trust in him. All the changing scenes of life and all the changing exercises and state of your soul. But here's a divine pattern. A man. What it means is this is written for the poor and the needy, you know. It means this, that the Lord is with his people. And he has covenanted to hear them. You who fear God and reverence the Son of God and hope in his mercy, on the ground of his grace, he's coming to hear you. Not on your grace, we haven't got any. Not on your goodness, not on the ground of anything we can do. He's not covenanted to hear. But on his own grace, his name, his worthy name. So he gives faith to believe in his name, which means believing in his person. His person is as his name. He's Saviour. His name is Jesus, Saviour. Christ, anointed. His holy, lovely person, as that blessed one among us, is the anointed of the Father. This is proves his divinity and his sacred humanity. In this way, the Holy Ghost descended a form of a dove, and John was told that he who saw the Holy Ghost descend upon, this is he, this is he. The Blessed One. And he now lives in glory tonight after perhaps an endless life. Beautiful terminology, isn't it? The power of an endless life. There's one in heaven who can help you, sinner. And so you see, we read here, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. Wrestled with him. Strove with him. Tried to get the better of him. It appeared from the narrative he wanted to go. Not to tarry with him. But he gave Jacob the faith to lay hold upon him and not let him go. He prevailed. Emmanuel prevailed in the blessing, in his covenant love. But he, in his covenant love, he gave Jacob faith to prevail over him. That's a beautiful truth, isn't it? Jacob prevailed in prayer because the Lord enabled him to do so. And that's why he came to him. That's why he could feel him and not see him. We realise that he couldn't be seen because this glorious, blessed man, the Lord Jesus, the pre-incarnation appearance of Jesus, of course, and not in the body that was prepared in the womb of the Virgin. But here he is in a bodily form. And he visits Jacob in his troubles. And he feels him, but he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh. I can't be seen, I must go. I will not let thee go. Yes, the day dawn is coming, but I must be blessed." And so he wrestled, and he obtained the blessing. But you see, he says, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And in our prayers, it's a great mercy if we can say this: "Lord, I cannot give up because thou art the Christ, the Son of God." You do have need here tonight. Need of your soul, need in your circumstances. Yes, reverently tell the Lord you must continue, though you are so wretched. Yes, and if you perish, well, you must perish at his feet. And you may say in your heart, "But Lord, none perish at thy feet, I believe. And I must wrestle, I must wait. I will not let thee go, because thou art that Christ." And so when he said, "Oh, not that he goes out to bless me," he said, "What is thy name?" Of course, we know the Lord knew, but the point is he's drawing out Jacob in his soul, you see. "Yes, Jacob, I knew you're a transgressor. So what's your name?" "Jacob." "Yes, a deceiver, a supplanter." "Yes, my dear friend, under covenant truth." And so he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. That is, a prince of God. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. Every dear child of God, my friend, is a prince of God in that covenant sense. They prevail. They're princes. Yes, and they're priests, they draw near. And as priest draws near to God, so yes, a kingdom of priests. A royal priesthood, a holy nation. For sinners draw near in supplication and plead the intercession of Christ. They supplicate with God. They bring the offering of Jesus in their prayers. And here, knowing who was with him and who was wrestling, so he pleaded. I don't dwell too long on these different points, but you know it is a divine pattern. Power with God and with men. Which means this: in a dangerous world like Abraham, sodding the land of terrible Canaanites, fierce, violent, murderous people, and he was only a family. Yet you see, he was cared for and looked after. And so those people are cared for and looked after, vulnerable and weak in this wicked world, and they pray their way along and they prevail. Their prayers are answered. They're unfolded year by year. Answers come. They wrestle on till they get to heaven, brought safely through. With power, with God and with men, and has prevailed. Now Jacob seeks to know more of this blessed God. As he feels the man with him, and this man had put his thigh out of joint, so he wrestled in pain. The Lord touches this and he touches that and touches something else. And so you're in trouble. You're in pain. Soul pain, bodily pain, circumstantial pain. Many troubles. But he said, "Tell me, I pray thy name." And he said, "Wherefore thou hast after my name." And he blessed him there. Now, here's the sacred pattern, my friend. May we draw near to that blessed prince who bears that name of Jesus, that mighty Saviour, that Holy One of God, that person expressly declared to be God with us, God with us. We cannot draw near to naked deity. Our most holy Father, hallowed be his great name. We cannot go directly to him. He's a consuming fire. But acknowledge him as our Father, but also the Father of our Lord and our Saviour, Jesus Christ. As merely your Father, he hates your sins and will consume you because of them. But he's given to an elect people his beloved Son. And sent him, yes, his beloved Son ever with him from all eternity. Yes, Jesus had no beginning and no end, for he's the Almighty God the Son. Eternally begotten is the correct term, meaning with the Father, yes, eternally, which we don't fully understand. We don't understand eternity, can we? No beginning and no end. Such is God, and such is the Lord Jesus, and such is the Holy Ghost. No beginning and no end. And Jesus, eternally begotten in the bosom of the Father, sent forth. Yes, he was promised in Eden. And now, oh, he comes from heaven in his lovely person in a bodily form, as he did in one or two other places in the Old Testament, and blesses a poor sinner. But now, my friends, he's come to us in our nature without sin, the Son of Man. Oh, heart says, beautiful man, there's a real man with wounds still gaping wide, with which streams of blood once ran from hands and feet and side. It is no wild fancy of our brain, no metaphor we speak. This same dear man in heaven now reigns, who suffered for our sake. He's true almighty God, oh, his blessed person, God with us. But now he's returned to the Father. And he's returned to the Father with all the trophy of the church with him. He has returned to the Father having suffered for every elect vessel of mercy from the Garden of Eden to his second coming, when he shall suddenly say, time shall be no more, and then he comes to redeem that people who he had in his breast at Calvary. You remember the priesthood, the ancient priesthood, the 12 gemstones on the breastplate of the high priest. And on one of those gemstones inscribed one of the tribes. 12 tribes, election of grace, the people of God. As Jesus lived and walked and obeyed, magnified the law, made it honourable, lived for us, was made a curse for us. He answered the law in two ways. Sinless perfection of holy service to God. There's your righteousness. And he answered the demand of the law in an accursed death. There's your dear Redeemer and your righteousness answered for you. He died. Oh, and he couldn't be condemned. He had no sin of his own. But it was imputed to him. So he magnified the law in living and weaving our righteousness. And he magnified the law in dying an accursed death. And he answered the demand of the law and he died. And he drank the wrath of God dry. There's no more curse on the church. Sometimes in the experience of your soul, you feel you've come so short. Spoke this morning or touched upon it just of his fatherly chastening. That's not the curse. That's a father's love. A father's correction. Yes, in gentleness and mercy. Oh, David said, thy gentleness has made me great. The gentle dealings in the trials he sends to bring us to be his dear children, live in sweet hope here. And you'll know his fatherly love and his covenant love. Yes, the love of your husband, the love of your friend, love of your dear Redeemer, your dear Saviour, the love of your God. Yes, the love of God, your Heavenly Father, in his dear Son to you. And therefore, my friends, as you see Christ, you see the Father also. You see, the gift of the Father. You see, the Father's beloved Son, well-beloved Son, well-pleased. And you know, your soul begins to be pleased with him too, when he arises for your help. And so may we therefore be helped to wrestle and plead his precious name, believing in his precious person. Blessed name, precious name, glorious name. Blessed person, precious person, glorious person. Because I live, ye shall live also. And here we are, you feel the defilement, but never get to try and offer anything yourself. Your holiness and even your repentance has sin mixed with it. But the grace he gives brings you to repent and own he is the Christ, which means and testifies, as you say it by faith, Lord, thou hast died, and now thou art living. Oh, for a poor sinner, because thou art the Christ. And so you plead him. And when you're in trouble, who do you pray to? The living God. The living God. Who was dead and alive forevermore. You go to the living God, the Son of the living God. Full of grace and truth, full of virtue, full of love, full of mercy. Who doesn't demand a penny of holiness, a mite of holiness. He said, look to me as your holy redeemer. Oh, look to me as your righteousness. Look to me in all my virtue, my merit, my love. Oh, look to me who lived for you, died for you, and living for you now in heaven. Believe in me, trust in me. Believe I can manage your affairs. What did Jesus say at the opening of the discourse in the upper room? Let not your heart be troubled. I'm your high priest. I know your troubles. Yes, you know them too. And you're sinking and trembling at them and wondering where they're going to end and what will be the end of you in these things. Now, believe in me, also in me. They're ordered by me. Trust in me to bring you through. I know the end of them. I command the wind and the stormy wave, do I not, in Psalm 107? Yes, you're tossed to and fro and stagger like a drunken man at your wit's end. But in crying to me, yes, I'll bring you through. I'll speak the calm at my appointed time, but yours is to wait and sink down. And in your troubles, still believe I am good. Still believe I am good. Still trust in me. Some of you, dear friends, know this pathway. And yet, there's pain with it and sorrow with it. You know, there is sorrow, but I'll see you again. Because I'm with you. Never leave you nor forsake you. Ah, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. Whoever is it does after my name. And he blessed him there. Oh, what a divine instruction from the narrative. The narrative of the patriarch Jacob. He asked after the name of the man that wrestled with him. Asked indeed for him to make himself known. That's the truth of it before us. Yes, yes, I'm in trouble, but I've been named as a prince, but thy name, that I may worship thee and adore thee and value thee and live upon thee continually, that I might know the way that I should go in looking unto thee in the heavens. And he blessed him there. Well, he arose and halted upon his thigh, did he not? Because his thigh appears to have been dislocated in this wrestling, you see. Ah, my friends, and we feel the weakness sometimes, even the physical weakness in some of our trials, do we not? You feel you can't continue. And the Lord comes and blesses you. You're strengthened to continue. But what you've passed through is sanctified and you're softened and humbled by it. You're sanctified, you want more tenderly with the Lord. Ah, that blessed person. Well, my friends, His name is above every name. Oh, the every knee shall bow at the feet of Jesus, in heaven, in earth, and under the earth. And the believers bow not only reverently, but, oh, they bow delightfully at times. Is it not precious to draw near? Do you know what Asaph meant when he said, it is good for me to draw near to God? It is good to draw near in wrestling prayer, isn't it? Oh, to be there more often. Oh, the humiliation in this, you see. Yes, we haven't always been so tenderly exercised as we are now, because we've been living a bit easily, as I said this morning. But then this brings you to be serious about your soul. Greatly concerned, you receive a covenant blessing. Oh, my friends, that name that prevails in heaven. Well, may we draw near with all our woes and all our weights and persist. What did Jesus say about us when living here? He said that men, that's us, isn't it? Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Haven't time to now, I've got to close. But you know what makes you faint, don't you? You get choked at times with a sense of you're no exercise, you're not like you ought to be. Oh, how weak you are at times. Oh, cumbered about with this and cumbered about with that. And so you faint. You're ready to faint. You look inside, can't see any grace. You look at your life, it's nothing but a dismal failure. And you're failing your profession, you begin to faint. Faith gets so low and belief is strong, you feel the Lord can't look upon you anymore. Men ought always to pray not to faint. He spoke of an impossible case, a widow. And the harsh judge heard her. And here's the teaching, she persisted. He had no love to her, worldly man. She was a nuisance. But to get rid of her being such a nuisance, he judged for her. Oh, my friends, he loves those that come. The Lord loves, they're not a nuisance. Oh, their sins, my friends, have grieved him. But he loves them, and he loves to hear their bleatings and their confessions. And he draws them to him. There's a secret in all this, isn't there? The work of God in your heart, that's the secret. You feel your need, you feel so dreadful about yourself. You want God, want his mercy, want his help. Men ought always to pray not to faint. Wherefore is that ask after my name? And he blessed him there. This must be, so I say most reverently and carefully, the Lord does not lie in his word. Poor men who value the covenant promises, they see them written, they hear them preached in the gospel, they see the life of the godly, they want the same blessing, their portion of that same Jesus. They're so poor, they're so needy, they think they're different to the Lord's people, but all the Lord's people are the same, you know. Was it here, was it this afternoon? I think I said this afternoon. All the Lord's people are chief of sinners. A man in East Anglia said to me some little while ago, you know, we don't all feel the chief of sinners. I didn't really give him the answer I should have done, but I was taking my answer. I said, may you feel it, and that's all I could say. Didn't get into an argument. But the point is this, you see, every man bears his own burden. Every man shall know the plague of his own heart. And what I said this afternoon was, we don't compare sinnership with sinnership. It's as we are before God, of sinners chief. That's the measurement. Yes, the infinite being of God and his intrinsic holiness, and ourselves, of sinners chief, ought to pray. Yes, ask in his name, chief of sinners, weakling in the faith, poor and needy, hungry, thirsty. You know, feel the condemnation and look at your failing profession. Ask in his name. Well, the pattern is before us. The Lord grant it. The Lord grant it. Ask an interest in this pattern. Oh, we poor ministers have to keep asking for interest in those things we try and preach to others. We may be partakers of these things. Oh, my friends, may we wait upon God and ask in his name continually. And what for? The greatest blessings. The blessing you need. Reality. Forgiveness. Everlasting love. His presence. His great salvation. His victory for you. Him formed in the heart. Robed in his righteousness. Washed in his precious blood. Ready to depart. Yes, and that you may be safely gathered. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Wherefore is it those ask after my name? And he blessed him there. Let us ask the Lord's blessing upon the word. Help us to ask, inquire after thy name, Lord. And ask that thy blessing might yet rest upon us more and more as we journey on in life's journey. Please follow with thy blessing. Please forgive the weakness and mistakes in the preaching. Oh, but bless thy own word to thy own honour and glory. Now do take under the shadow of thy wings and grant journeying mercies. And have mercy upon us for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £695, and for the TBS on Tuesday to £1,950, for which we're very thankful. God willing, Mr. Pickett is expected to preach on Friday evening, and Mr. Burgess next Lord's Day, and there'll be a prayer meeting on Saturday at 4 o'clock for the nation and for the churches. Let us close with hymn 1149. What think you of Christ is the test, to try both your state and your scheme. You cannot be right in the rest unless you think rightly of him. As Jesus appears in your view, as he is beloved or not, so God is disposed to you, and mercy or wrath is your lot. 1149.
May the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet communion and comfort of the Holy Ghost rest and abide with us each, both now and for evermore. Amen.